The next topic for review is pediatric resuscitation. Included in this review are medical emergencies in the newborn, acute asthma and epiglottitis, cardiac dysrhythmias, shock, isolated head injuries, blunt abdominal trauma, poisoning and overdose, and fluid resuscitation. All drug dosages and life support procedures and equipment are found in the Pediatric Advanced Life Support section of the Guidelines 2000, and they include both ACLS and ATLS measures. Let's begin with medical emergencies in the neonate. Metabolic acidosis associated with a pH less than 7.0 may be treated with sodium bicarbonate 1 milliequivalent per kilogram IV of a 4.2% solution infused slowly at a rate of 1 milliequivalent per kilogram over 10 minutes. Remember that IV fluids and correction of any respiratory or metabolic component are the mainstays of therapy in neonates with metabolic acidosis. Subsequent doses should be based on ABG analysis in patients with a pulse. In the absence of a pulse, empiric doses of 0.5 milliequivalents per kilogram may be given every 10 minutes slowly, over 1 to 2 minutes, IV push. Hypotension secondary to volume depletion is treated with either Ringer's lactate or normal saline, 10 cc per kilogram IV, over 5 to 10 minutes. Bradycardia in the newborn is initially managed with ventilation and oxygenation. If, after administration of 100% oxygen for 30 seconds with good air movement and chest rise, the heart rate is less than 60, begin chest compressions and initiate drug therapy with epinephrine. The recommended IV or endotracheal dose is 0.1 to 0.3 cc per kilogram of the 1 to 10,000 solution, repeated every 3 to 5 minutes as needed. Endotracheal tube sizes for newborns are based on weight. If the newborn weighs less than 1 kilogram, use a 2.5 millimeter uncuffed tube. If the weight is 1 to 2 kilograms, use a 3 millimeter uncuffed tube. A weight of 2 to 3 kilograms requires a 3.5 millimeter uncuffed tube. Larger newborns may need a 4 millimeter uncuffed tube. For the newborn with respiratory depression secondary to narcotic abuse by the mother, give naloxone 0.1 mg per kilogram of a 0.4 mg per cc solution IV, or, if perfusion is inadequate, IM or sub-Q. According to the 2005 AHA guidelines, naloxone administration is not recommended during the primary steps of resuscitation, but it may be given if initial resuscitation efforts fail. In addition, endotracheal administration is no longer recommended, and naloxone should not be given to babies whose mothers are suspected of having had long-term exposure to opioids. Oxygen administration in the newborn and young infant is best accomplished with a small hood at a rate of 10 to 15 liters per minute. However, if cyanosis, bradycardia, or other signs of distress are noted in a breathing newborn during stabilization, administration of 100% oxygen is indicated while determining the need for additional intervention. Free-flow oxygen can be delivered through a face mask and flow-inflating bag, an oxygen mask, or a hand cupped around the oxygen tubing. Hypoglycemia in the newborn, that is, a serum glucose less than 40, is treated with D10W 2 to 4 cc per kilogram. Bolus infusions of dextrose in 25% or 50% concentrations should not be given to the neonate since they can induce rebound hypoglycemia and hypertonicity. Now let's move on to the child older than 3 months and review selected emergencies in this age group. With acute epiglottitis, the initial goal is to prevent respiratory arrest so that a definitive airway can be established in the OR. Agitation of the child should be minimized. The child should remain in the company of his parents, allowed to assume a comfortable position, and given humidified oxygen by mask. Equipment for airway management should be set up nearby and someone experienced in airway management should remain with the child at all times. While this is being accomplished, assembly of a team composed of an anesthesiologist, ENT specialist, and pediatrician should proceed without delay. Antibiotic therapy is usually initiated once the airway has been secured by the anesthesiologist or ENT specialist. Acceptable antibiotic regimens include the following: ceftriaxone, 100 mg per kilogram per day divided in 3 doses, or ampicillin sulbactam, 100 to 200 mg per kilogram per day divided in 4 doses, plus chloramphenicol, 75 to 100 mg per kilogram per day divided in 6 doses. Ceftriaxone, 50 to 100 mg per kilogram per day divided in 2 doses, is another alternative. All of these antibiotics are administered IV, and of the regimens just described, the cephalosporins are more commonly used today. The next topic is acute asthma. This is a prime topic for the oral board exam, and it should be reviewed. If you get a case of pediatric asthma, it's likely to appear in one of the multiple encounters, and the emphasis will be on your therapeutic approach to this patient. Another possibility is a single encounter with a child presenting with near-fatal asthma. This will be discussed separately after the general management of acute asthma has been reviewed. Administer oxygen to all asthmatics. Put them on pulse oximetry and obtain a peak expiratory flow rate. Most asthmatics are hypoxic, and treatment with beta-adrenergic agents may initially worsen the hypoxia by increasing the ventilation-perfusion mismatch. The initial treatment of choice is aerosolized therapy with a beta-adrenergic agent. It is associated with fewer systemic side effects and superior dilation when compared to parenteral therapy. The preferred agent is albuterol 0.5% solution. Administer 0.15 mg per kilogram in 2 to 3 cc's normal saline every 20 minutes for 3 doses, then 0.15 to 0.3 mg per kilogram, up to 10 mg every 1 to 4 hours as needed. Parenteral adrenergic therapy is usually reserved for the very young and the very sick who may not be able to cooperate or provide the necessary inspiratory effort. You can use either epinephrine or terbutaline. The dose of epinephrine is 0.01 mg per kilogram up to 0.3 mg of a 1 to 1,000 solution given sub-Q every 20 minutes as needed, up to 3 doses. The dose of terbutaline is 0.01 mg to kilogram up to 0.25 mg given sub-Q every 30 minutes as needed, up to 3 doses, then every 2 to 6 hours as needed. For those patients who continue to wheeze despite adequate beta-adrenergic therapy, consider using aerosolized anticholinergic therapy. When used in combination with beta-adrenergic agents, their effects are additive. The agent of choice is ipratropium bromide, 0.25 mg in children, every 20 to 30 minutes, combined with the first 3 albuterol treatments. Corticosteroids are useful in treating the inflammatory aspect of asthma and are being used earlier and with greater frequency than in the past. They should be administered to any of the following 6 categories of patients. 1. Those who are currently taking or have recently discontinued a steroid preparation. 2. Those who show only mild improvement following initial sympathomimetic therapy. 3. Those with signs of severe obstruction, in other words, the tight wheezer who can't seem to open up. 4. Those with a history of asthma-related respiratory failure. 5. Those whose attack has been prolonged. And 6. Those who relapse, that is, those who return to the emergency department for the same attack. Patients in severe distress or those who are vomiting will need methylprednisolone 1 to 2 mg per kilogram IV. If the child does not require IV steroids, Liquid prednisone or prednisolone is rapidly absorbed from the GI tract and should be given in a dose of 1 to 2 milligrams per kilogram. Patients who receive steroids in the emergency department and are subsequently discharged should be continued on oral steroids for 3 to 10 days. This is the end of the 6th CD. Pediatric asthma will continue on CD 7.